Father, we worship you again, Lord. And we are so grateful to you, thou the Most High God, that inhabits eternity. Yet you find time for us to inhabit our places. Lord, we thank you. Say, you are my friend. If you keep my commandments, you are no longer servant, you are my friend. He's our Father, he's our Creator, he's our Maker, and he's our friend. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for so much loving us, Lord. As he is, so are we in this world. The day is coming, Lord, according to the word of promise, that when we see you, Lord, we shall be like you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bible says in Philippians 3:21 that you fashion know our mortal body to be like unto his glorious body. So in everything, it behoves you, Lord, to be like unto us, for you call us your brethren. Lord, we thank you, Father. We are so glad to be the children of God. We are the body of Christ. And each of us have a place in Christ's body. You are a particular member of the body of Christ. What greater joy that can be that we are part of God. You say, I'm the true vine. And you, and I are the branches. Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Your word is so precious. We understand through faith that even the world was created by the word of God. Nothing was made which wasn't made by the word. God's word created everything. Who is that word? The Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was made flesh. And it dwelt among us. Lord, we thank you. If that word, want to read that now, Lord. Lord, a blessing the reading of your word as we do right now. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. This morning, just a short while here, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to talk about one of the most comforting texts in the old Bible. One of the most comforting texts in the old Bible. And it's found in Romans 8:28. So the subject is, all things work together for good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now the Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, notice the word A-L-L, right? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Well, as glorious as this text is, as assuring as it is, and there are so many people in the world today, even so nominal Christians, this text becomes one of the most perplexing one to them. They question, how can all things work together? No, for good. Because of their situation, their daily situation, their experiences in life, and do not match this scripture. And so they begin to question the Lord. We don't question the Lord, you know. God's truth is truth. Eh? God's word is true. Praise the Lord. So when, to such people, we know their problem, you know. We'll take it that way. So, here is the dilemma, and that's why they are thinking that way. Number one, we note that the scripture applies, it's not an automatic thing, right? We have to accept God as he is, right? So number one, that scripture applies to, not everybody, to those who love the Lord. That's what the Bible says, those who love the Lord. So if they don't love the Lord, then it won't be like that for them, you know? So those who love the Lord. Not to those who have left their first love or whose love has grown cold. Not for those people. Obviously, not for those people who refer to the to be self-willed and disobedient to the word of God. In fact, all things do not work together for good for people who are like that, you know. Rather, it's the reverse for them, you know. So all things work together for bad, I will say, for those impenitent people out there, you know, and back like that, you know. So they have to conform to the scripture. It's a conditional thing, right? For those that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we leave those people alone and go to that talking to us. Many Christians today, you know, even you and I, and many people in the world, many Christians and so on, who have been maturing in the Lord over the years. You can look back over your life too, and you can see events, you know, of the past, and you can see a pattern in your life too, if you look carefully, which are times seem to be very, very disconcerting in your life, and even detrimental to your interest, you know, and you look back and you look closely, you can see that eventually they have, you know, worked out providentially, you know, for you, you know, for good, you know. And, you know, so if you look carefully, you will see them in your life. Too many, many, many times I said that, you know, one type was so disconcerting, detrimental to your interest. And yet, you see the providence of God in them, and you're able to praise God. It worked out together for good. Christians should be able to number many, many occasions like that. Anyway, many, of course, have difficulty in seeing God in everything. Even Christians, they have difficulty in seeing God in everything, especially when people do things to hurt them. See, they can't see God in it. They just see that person that hurt them. They don't know why, you know. And they can't see that God is, but God is in, if you are as a Christian, whatever happened to you, God is in it one way or the other. So these people, they fail to realize that nearly everything in life comes to us through the human instrumentality. That's what it is. Everything, you have to see that way. When people hurt you, or maybe at the place of work, whatever it is, you must know that God, being a child of God, God is in everything as far as you are concerned. And your outlook will change in life, you know. So everything that comes to the Christian, even through human instrumentality, you know, so most of our trials are the result of somebody hurting us, right? That's what happened in this life. It's through human, you can say Satan and so on. Satan will still use man, right? In most cases, right? So, and so somebody hurting us, maybe by ignorance, they hurt us. Or maybe they are careless, then they hurt us. Or because of their sin, and they hurt us, right? So, but a Christian must be able to see God in all these things. Those who don't believe, they can't see that. But the true Christian, able to see that God is in everything that happened to them. We know God cannot be the author of those things, making them to hurt us. We know that. And yet, unless He, God, you know, is the agent in that matter, how can we say to Him, "Oh God, that will be done"? Because you can't say that. If you can't see God even in people that are hurting you, you can never say, "Oh Lord, that will be done," right? You can't say that, you know. Besides that, what good is there in trusting our affairs to God? For example, if you are looking at human aspects alone, that is that to me, and that, you know, you can't see God in it. So, you know, so what good is there in trusting our affairs to God? If after all, man is to be allowed, you see, to come in and disarrange it, you put it in the hand of God, and yet man comes along and disarrange the thing you put in the hand of God. That makes it difficult for people, right, to see that God is in everything, right? So what is God? So anyway, so and you know, so and how is it possible then? How do you have faith? You have to believe that God is in everything that pertains to your life. Whether Satan tries to do something to you or man, doesn't make a difference, I don't know, you know. Moreover, things in which we can see God's hand always have a sweetness in them that consoles why it wants us. God will comfort and console us. But we know the trials inflicted by man are full of nothing but bitterness. I'm saying this to see here why people think that when people do this thing to them, they can't see God in them, you know, in those things. But God, as a child of God, God is in everything that happened to you. I will back these things up by scripture quickly. So yes, human beings have been an instrumentality to how things happen to us, and God allowed them for a purpose we don't know. But as a child of God, we believe firmly that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. So so we are going to find examples in the Bible to support what I'm talking about this morning and so on. Yeah. To the children of God, everything comes directly from their Father's hand. That should be your mindset because of this scripture I just read to you today. All Bible says all things, right? Not only the good things. When people hurt you, isn't God there? He allows it, right? All things work together for good. If you had this mindset, you're going to have perfect peace, you know, all the time. So you won't think that guy, that man, or the co-employee, or whatever, you know. You're kind of God, God announce it, right? So God said all things, A-L-A, work together for good. Because you love the Lord, right? So just take care of loving the Lord all the time, and watch out, and see if God's word is not true. God will always do his part. So God's children now, to all of us who are God's children, everything comes directly from our Father's hand. Forget about the person who did it to us. No matter who or what may have been the apparent agent that God used, could be the demon, could be a devil or whatever it is, or a human being, it could be any of our relationship and so on, and that, you know, God is in everything that pertains to you as a child of God. So there are no second causes for them, for us. God is in it all. He could use any agent, you know. So we can see throughout the Bible and so on, that, you know. So even the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, you know, I love what he said, you know, and all things happened to Job, right, the Bible and so on. Despite all those things, he didn't even know what was doing it. Satan was the agent God was using, right? And he could even say that, you know, God gave and God took. He was even happy. So, blessed be his holy name. Even though he was wrong, God didn't take anything from you. God gave you all those things. Satan stole it. But he saw that, Bible says in all of his tribulation, I mean, he kept his integrity with God. That's the kind of faith we are talking about, right? Look at all the suffering. He knew, Bible says he was the richest man in the East. Bible says that there was no fault found in that man in the early chapter. So he could see God in everything happening to him, you know? He even said, you know what? Is this death? Even if this is my body, once you consume it, I know it's coming again. I know that my Redeemer lives. That in the last day, he will appear upon the earth. He said, it's like, no matter what, I know God is in it. And look at the end of Job. Bible says, we have had all the patience of Job. And we have seen the end of the law. And the Lord is good. He's merciful and he's pitiful. When he kept that mindset at least, I will say, hey, even if he slay me, I will still serve him. See that mindset? And it's working together for good in the end. All these children with God, Satan took away from him. God restored them back. All the kindness were restored. And that the love for this world. When you stand your ground, what Satan thought he took from you, God doesn't judge it. God doubled it all for him. A double blessing, you know. He doubled his kindness. He doubled whatever he has and something like that, you know. So because throughout, even when his friends, they misunderstood him, right? Oh, Joe, you must have seen, you know. You must have seen. How can this happen to you as well? Those people, they are carnal Christians, right? They have not been in warfare before. How can you cancel? They were not in Job's shoes, right? People won't be in your shoes. They will criticize you, right? It's the same thing. Human being, right? Unless you walk in the spirit of God. And knowing this thing now will help us to know how to deal with mankind. God can use them as an agent. Even those friends of Job are still further agents to try Job the more, right? Upon what they have done to him, right? Even his close friends were accusing him, and so that, you know. And but in the end, even those friends, God told them, go to my servant Job. Let him pray for you. People are criticizing him and so on. Bible says, go to my servant Job at the end of his tribulation and let him pray for you. You know, and so that, you know. When you know, he was consistent, you know, and praising God and so on. So truly enough, even from the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible, it was showing all the greatest lesson is this. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Only divine love could say that even if he slay me, I will still serve him, right? That's the divine. He loves the Lord, right? So we see in his life and some of that, you know. Anyway, so we see this morning. So the old teaching of scripture asserts and implies this. This thing we're talking about this morning. And in Matthew 10:29, so see how you look at things as God's children. That they work out together for you, for good for you. Many things in the Bible about you, no matter what man is doing to you, in Matthew 10:29, God talks about you, he cares about you, you know. 10:29 of Matthew, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? Whatever is happening to you, God knows about it. Whether you know it, he knows all about it. Even a sparrow, ordinary sparrow, God says, when he fall God, how much more? The next one says, but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So if you can take care of it, what is for? How much about you? Whatever you are going through in this life and so on, God is in it. Because you are a child of God, keep your own part of the covenant. Always loving Him. That's all you need to do. Leave the rest to Him, you know. Job left the rest to Him, you know. So you leave the rest to Him and He will come out just fine. Beautiful indeed and so on, you know, because I'm a child of God. You know, so we see right there. Even more things about us. We are not to be anxious about anything. Philippians 4:6, you know. And I think that Sunday or so, talk about not about that. Because our Father has charged Himself with our defense. How many times we try to defend ourselves, you know? You know, in the same book of Job 22:25, Bible categorically stated, yes, the Almighty shall be your defense. That's right. That's in Job 22:25. Let God be your defense. I don't have to put your, just let God have it all, you know, and walk in the Spirit. God says, you know, the Almighty shall be your defense. Now, more scripture about whatever you will be going through in this life, all things work together for good. Now, let me say another. We are not to fear, actually, for the Lord is on our side, all the time. So, no matter what agency God is using, whether that person, God is on your side. You keep your part of God's covenant. God keep on loving Him. Now, in Isaiah 41:13, what I'm saying now, for I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. See? It's always there. Even where persecution comes, God say, I'll be right there, you know. You know, I will help you. Don't worry about it. Don't have anxiety about it. I will help you. You know, no one can be against us because God is for you. So, and in Romans 8:31, so I don't care what people say or do. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see? So these are the things that, you know, keep our spiritual life together and keep us in the will of God. We completely surrender to God all that we have. That He is in charge. That He is in control of whatever situation comes to us. I mean, you know, it's our Father, it's our friend, it's our everything. We shall not want, for He is our shepherd. In Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He declared, David knew those things and so on, that, you know, he said, my shepherd, I shall not want, you know. Just give an example to the Bible, how we should let all things in the hand of the Lord as God's children. No matter what the circumstances may be, you know, it's always there with you to make everything work together for your good because you love Him. Isaiah 43 verse 2, when thou passest through the water, see, He allows you to pass through the waters, right? I'm telling you right now. So, you know what He's doing? When thou passest through the waters, I will deal with this. So what do you want? You know? And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. He guarantees you. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In that water, I will make all. You can preach in any direction you want in this life experience. I will deal with thee. It shall work together for your good. In the fire of affliction, of test and trials are with you, and it shall work out together for your good. If you stay with me, said the Lord. If you stay with the word of God, you know. And so we see, you know, so Apostle Paul, many times in his life, God made things to, God used to write this particular text, you know. He had great experience with the Lord, and so on, you know. So at one time, he was going as a prisoner, you know, to Rome, because after to see the life, did you want to kill him for preaching the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And they wanted to kill him. In fact, all of his life was threatened and so. Anyway, he said, appeal to Caesar. Okay, the governor said, to Caesar you appeal. Okay, to Caesar you will go. You have to go to Rome, right? To go appeal to Caesar there, you know. And along the way, you know, look at the storm. 15 old days, they couldn't even see the sun or moon in the night. Not was all dark. Great on the Mediterranean, you know. He knew God told him all things work together for good, right? You know, so even this my trip to Rome, He worked hard together for good, you know. And he did so. Eventually, you know, God showed to him, he said to him, and said, look, not one soul will perish. 276 people. Not one of them died. God showed him the angel of the Lord in the night. Not, that's in Acts 27, not one of you will perish, right? And truly enough, you know, and these people, they were disobedient. You know, he already told them by his revelation that, look, let us stay, let us winter here, because, you know, let us just, but they refused because of their, they want to make gain, right? Or the, just like today, people are so selfish, you know, they want to make great gain. Anyway, and do you know that eventually the ship broke into pieces and, you know, and he already told them, let none of you jump into the water. You just stay in here, you know. So that's the point. Stay with God, even in the storm. You know, stay with God in the storm. He will see to it that he sees you through, you know. And truly enough, the ship was scattered and so on, but not one single soul perished out of 276. Above it all, in the island, Malta, where they crashed, where they landed, right? So right there, it was very cold in the winter. As they were making sticks, you know, to prepare fire, to get warm. We were there before, to that particular port bay, you know. It's today still there, you know. Do you know that, you know, the serpent beat him? People were thinking, oh, he's going to die, you know, because they haven't seen anything alive before their life. But the man of God, you might have read in the Bible, how the Lord told us in Mark 16, these signs shall further believe. They take off serpent. He just shook it to the fire. And of course, the old animals, they were so, you know, they now call him God, right? Not only that, the old island, almost all of them were converted. He healed the sheep, I mean, he healed the, you know, their king or whatever they have there, and there was, he filled the gospel to the old island, you know. So, working together for good, even a shipwreck, work together for good to the saving of many people in Malta, you see? So anyway, so we can go on that. So we say there, a close study of the scriptures bears out that there are no second causes. That is, no, God allowed it in your life because as a child of God, there must be, you know, that the, you know, it will work out together for good for you. Everything that happens to us as Christians are in the hands of God, put it in the hands of God. We must understand, therefore, that everything that pertains to your life, to my life, is held in the providence of God. And that only those things can happen that the Lord deems to happen. You see? Bible says, who is he that seeth and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? I don't know whether that is in the scripture, but it's in the scripture. You know, who is he that seeth and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Nobody can curse me as a Christian, for example, or you as a Christian, and yet we are still afraid today of people cursing us. And so the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He even told Israel, I will call them that curse you, you know. And so all the kind of wonderful scriptures, you know, we are safe in the Lord's hands, you know. We must understand, okay, therefore that everything that pertains to you and I is held in the providence of God, and that only those things can happen with the law we permit to happen. While we cannot always control circumstances, we can control our reaction to them. That's one thing. See? We can't control circumstances, but we can control our reactions to circumstances. God has given you and I that grace if we will make use of them anyway. Now let's get about two or few people in the Bible. I talked about Job before. As a matter of two or three witnesses, right? Joseph is the popular one in the Bible of what I'm talking about right now. That all things work together for good. This is where beloved of his father, you know. And sometimes people, parents, I don't know. They love one child than the other, I don't know. Anyway, but they love him so much. You know his story? He has to go to all of his story, right? He even gave him, you know, a coat, a rainbow coat, and all those things. That start up jealousy among his other brethren, right? And why the other ones were even going to have a castle, Joseph was in his house, right? Anyway, so we know the story of him. Anyway, perhaps one of the finest illustrations of this scripture we are talking about today is of Joseph, you know, in the life of Joseph. Certainly, Joseph could not see how it could work for its good when its wicked brother sold him to become a slave in Egypt. He went through many things. Know the story. In fact, they wanted to kill him and so on. As they approached them, okay, go and get there. The father called him. Jesus said, go and take this thing. Go and see how your brethren are faring, the way they were with the cattle and the sheep and whatever, you know. And because he was just being himself, right? He was born that way, you know, the gift and the calling of God, and without repentance, he was given to dreams and revelation. And probably on his own fault, yeah, even you can be the agent of your own suffering. God is still in it, right? He was the agency of his own suffering to start with. First of all, he had this revelation gift, right? And he was born that way, you know. And he declared to them, and the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, you know, they bow down to me. You see? And even his father said, even not only your brothers, even I am your brother will bow down to you. They know the meaning of the dream and so on. Maybe he should have kept quiet, right? He didn't keep quiet, right? So even he is an agency that God used to even bring about his own sufferings, right? It could be somebody else, it could be you, but God is in it all, you know. So you see, he went to see them in the story as he was coming. Oh, that dreamer is coming now. They wanted to kill him really. But Reuben, the elders of them all, he was careful. He said, wow, you going to kill this lad and so on. Okay, so they put him in this pit here, and anyway, that was save his life. Eventually, you know, it was Judah, you know, that said, okay, you know what? Let us sell him, you know, to this Midianite and so on and that, you know. So they sold him to Egypt, right? So this is the guy, the man that God has shown great things, and he knew what he was talking about, of a great future. Now, look at what happened to him. What was he thinking? How can that work together for good? In fact, as you will see, he used the same like scripture, as I'm going to see quickly right now. Anyway, so, he became a slave in Egypt, and he was 2017 when this happened, only 17 years old. For the next 13 years, Joseph, seem to prove that this wicked crime on the part of his brother only worked for his arm. That was what you'll be thinking, right? What are you thinking, you know? So, but later on, I think he tells us a great story. When he got here, he was rooted. From 17-year-old boy, he was rooted out of his home and from his father's love. See? And yet God showed this great dream, a revelation. So you and I now are visible coming of the Lord. And you are going through many, many times, tribulations. How can this thing be? Let's learn from this, from Job, from all these men. It's going to work out for your good, no matter what it is, and for my good. Anyway, not more than that. For 13 years, he was a slave in Egypt. 13 whole years. And even while he was there, his refusal to acquiesce to the enticement of his master's wife resulted in his being apprehended and confined into a dungeon for 2 whole years for doing righteousness, right? You know, he told the wife of his master, look, your husband, my lord, he put me over everything he has. The only thing he keeps for me is you. I can't do this, no matter what. And he went to prison for, you know what, know the story and so on and that, you know. Even when he was in prison, even the imprisonment was working out for good. As we see in the story of Joseph, you know, because that's how it was in the prison that he saw the chief butler, you know, and the chief baker of Pharaoh, right? That's in the prison. He was a very sharp person. He did no wrong. Those people did the king wrong, but he was the most sharp person, you know. That's what happened to him. Right? He was sharp. He had a revelation. He was a prophet. You know, actually, he was a prophet, you know. And he will share the people up and so on. That's why he was able to share their dreams with him, right? You know, because he was cheerful and outgoing. That's why his dilemma and so on, that, you know. Anyway, it was that dream that he interpreted to them that later led him to meet Pharaoh, right? And interpreted Pharaoh's own dream to him. And you know the dream? Pharaoh said, you know, look, that the 7 years of bounty and 7 years of famine, he told the Pharaoh by scream and so on. And the old Pharaoh, you know what you want to do? Tell somebody in your realm, you know, that we take care of things during the bounty 7 years, and then what happens in the following 7 years of famine? Pharaoh said, well, who else can I do but you? So he became the prime minister of Egypt. Can you see that? Anyway, so now what he has gone through, did he work for that for good? He did. It worked for good for him and so on. Now, so we see. So, and even before I even go forward with him, what about Jacob, his father, who believed in him that he was dead, right? No, that he was dead. And never seemed to grieve. You couldn't even comfort him. No, couldn't comfort Jacob, because you know how much he loved Joseph. Couldn't comfort, nothing could comfort him and so on. He never seemed to grieve for Joseph and said, all things are against me. Just like the opposite of what we are talking about today. What don't, so we don't see, we don't blame ourselves. This was a prophet, right? This man, it was after he was a prince, a prince of God. He had gone through his own many things and so on, coming back. You know, he was a prince of God, he was a prophet himself, you know. And here's what he said in Genesis 42:36. He said, all these things are against me. See what he said now. He said, and Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away. Now, all these things are against me. He was a prophet. Look at his mindset, you know. You know, this happened because when Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt, now, the whole world was buying corn from Egypt. So he sent his brother to go and buy corn too. Jacob sent his other brother, there are about the 10 of them, and Benjamin was left, you know, was the youngest one, was left at home. And Joseph was a wise man, a prophet and so on. You know how, he said, when he got there, he questioned them and so on. There are 12 of us, one of us, was killed by animal and so on. They never knew they were talking that it was Joseph anyway. So he said, okay, so what happened to the 12th? What happened to your 12th one? Oh, it's at home. Okay, you know what? I do not believe you. You, Simeon, keep him here with me and go and bring that 12th one so I will believe you. He knew what he was doing. He knew that. He didn't know him, but he knew them, you know, and so on that, you know. That's when they got home, they told Jacob this, and that's why this verse came up. Now, Simeon was delayed in Egypt. According to Jacob, Joseph was dead. Now, they are asking to bring Benjamin, the last one. That's why this verse came up, just to give you a background and so on. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, he said. And Simeon is not. Delayed in Egypt, right? And Joseph to him is presumed dead, right? And now, you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against him. Were they really against you, Jacob? Not really. Yet we know Jacob's words were far from the truth. Circumstances were working for his good. We know the story, but I'm going to just paraphrase it here. They were working for his good. For the day came when Joseph was taken from the dungeon, like I'm telling you already, to become the lord of the land of Egypt. Not many days later, after Jacob had spoken these words, all these are against me, you were thinking, you know. Later on, not too much, father and child, they all reunited together in Egypt. So it didn't work for his good, you know. Can you imagine, you know, the life of Joseph, you know. And anyway, so certainly, Joseph's brother's cruel act in selling him to the Midianites was a wicked and contrary to the will of God. So many things will happen in your life. You see, it doesn't matter what agency God used. Like I said, Joseph was an agency to one of his own, you know, of his own suffering. But it was the providence of God. So even if you make a mistake, I mean, you are a child of God, just say, Lord, forgive me and go on, you know. God can see, use it. No, you could have kept quiet, right? I don't say nothing about those dreams. No, anyway, so, and anyway, so, but Joseph could say something to them later down the road that is much like Romans 8:28, which we are reading today, that all things work together for good. Here is what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when they were all together and so on. And as for you, he said, turning to his brethren, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Like we are saying, you met evil, but God meant it unto good. Just like Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. In Genesis 45, verse 5, even more of that. Now therefore be not grieved. He was even the one comforting them now, you see, comforting his brethren who did him evil. You know? They think that you're going to do them harm and kill them or revenge. No, no revenge. You know, he know it was in the providence of God. When you know that God has it in your life, what are you revenging for? You know? I mean, railing against railing? No, we don't do that, you know. Do good unto them that hurt you. The Bible says that, and pray for your enemies, right? You know. So it says, now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourself, that he sold me hither. For God sent you, Joseph. You see, he saw the providence of God. He wasn't seeing those brothers anymore as doing any evil. He said, God sent me before you to preserve life. That is the mind God wants us to have. Whether my difficulty, my trial is caused by myself, God is still in it. Or he used my brethren, whether in the flesh or in the spirit, to hurt me, God is still in it, and so on and that, you know. So anyway, so we see right there, he was doing exactly what the Bible says in Romans 8:28 right here, you know. And, another misconception is this, that people have. The idea may be implied, and let's balance the whole thing. There may be an idea that if God is in everything, there is nothing for us to do at all, right? You know, I'm not saying that, but people have that impression. When God is in everything, there is nothing for us to do but to resign ourselves to whatever comes our way. Is that really right? No, not really right. Now, this is one of the most serious errors that one could make, you know. God does not permit trials or troubles and misunderstanding to come our way just to serve some mysterious purpose that we cannot fathom out, you know. So a resignation of ourselves to every evil that we meet will be an open invitation to the devil to destroy us. So what do we do then? This same Jacob I'm talking about now, this Jacob. Suppose that Jacob, when he saw his brother Esau, you know, advancing with 400 men of war to take vengeance against him. What if he had said, well, you know, let me just sit down here, all things put together for good. Let me just sit down here and let Esau come and do what he needs to do and destroy me and my family and so on. He didn't do that. So he did something. Instead, Jacob accepted the situation as a challenger. And that night, he wrestled with God, the angel of the Lord. You know, that's the whole time by itself. All night long. I will not let go of the angel of the Lord. He said, I will not let you go to bless me, you know. So, you see, and so right here. As a result, the whole order of events was changed, you know. And we know the story. When he saw, when the family met, he saw they fell on each other's necks and wept together. You see, and God turned it around and turned that, you know. So now we can see how this event worked for good for Jacob's good in three ways. Number one, it showed him that it had been the cause of his own troubles. You see what I'm saying? Even when you are the cause of your trouble, God is still with you, amen? As a child of God, providentially, God is with you, you know. He knows how you make mistakes. He knows you make mistakes, amen? But a child of God, when they make mistake or sin, they don't rejoice in it. A godly sorrow comes with the child of God, and he repents, right? So anyway, that in trying to overreach another, that's Jacob's character at that time. He had overreached himself. Overreach means to take an advantage of other people for our own good, and so on, that, you know. He did it, and so on, due to his son. So we see that. And let's see. So later on, you know, what he did came to haunt him really, you know. First of all, in the case of the three, the bad fly, what happened? You know, he used a goat for life, wrap around his arm to deceive the blind Isaac, who was already old and so on, and pretend that he was Israelite. You know that later, what is in Genesis, Genesis 37, 31. I'm saying that, you know, what he did before come to haunt him, but God still delivered him. So in that scripture, in Genesis 37, 31, and, you know, so whatever he did to deceive his father came back to him. So now he used a goat skin, right? And because Esau was hairy, right? So he wrapped a goat skin around his arm, and when Isaac fed him, oh, Esau. Isaac even said, look, the skin is Esau's, but the voice is Jacob's. What can I do now? See? Anyway, so later on, it's Jacob's own children now. Use the blood of a goat to deceive him. They soak Joseph's coat into a bloody goat, right? And say, hey, Papa, look at, we thought an animal killed Joseph, you know? You see, the same thing he did get your own thing. He used a goat skin, right, to deceive Isaac, his father. Now his own children use a goat's blood, you know, to deceive him that Joseph was dead, you know? See, but despite all those things, all things work together for good. But I caught the problem. No child of God really wants to really sin. But we are all tempted one way or the other, you know, and God, you know, and the Bible says, no temptation that comes to you, no temptation will come to you, but it's common to man. So anyway, so we learn from all these things. Anyway, so let me start to finish up here. So, finally, what for him good is it? Finally, it's rich in the resolving. All that he went through, the serious misunderstanding between him and Esau was resolved. It's focused together for good. They don't see eye to eye anymore, but it's all worked together for good, like I said before. They become friends again, fall upon each other's necks, you know. God resolved the whole issue. Yeah, he told the bad plan, yes. And all this is another, he told the blessing, yes. But even in the end, look at how the brother Esau and Jacob resolved themselves, and they followed each other and wept. So God will make all things to work together for good, you know, because we love the Lord. So, and even as Jacob wrestled with God in the prayer, so those who today love the Lord, we labor in prayer. We are to wait on God until the very Spirit of God intercedes through us to victory. And when the Spirit of God prays through you and me, you know, then we know for certain that all things work together for good. In fact, the Holy Ghost put the Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, and followed it with 28 verse. And let's close with those scriptures again, you know, so that, you know, let's see. In Romans 8, 26, which I read before, likewise, the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit also, helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And look at the next verse. And we know, that's how we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So we see God for know all things, let us rest in the Lord. So anyway, certainly nothing can happen to us except God permits it. So let us put that in our mind. He may allow situations to arise that are frustrating to us and perplexing, yes. Why God does allow these things to us? Why does he allow this thing to happen to us? For one thing, I believe is this. So how does it? So that it does it so that you and I may have an opportunity to develop our faith and our spiritual faculties, and by this means be overcomers. So God allowed them for that purpose, to help us develop our faith and our spiritual faculties by this means. To overcome and be overcomer, you have to accept the frustration, if you will, that come our way as permitted of God, but not to sit down and listen ourselves to them. For if you do that, then that's the devil trying to do that to us and so on, you know. Yeah, we accept the situation, the frustration, we accept them, and that come our way, and that God permitted to come across our way, but we will not sit down and resign ourselves to them. That will be the doctrine of Satan. All things work together for good to those who are called according to God's purpose. And it is his purpose that we find his way out of our difficulties. Yes, he allowed it. It's also his purpose that we find our way out of that difficulty, like Jacob did, right? You know, and our faith is triumphing over circumstances. Is the master key to all things working together for good, for God's people. So we see that, so we can go through the Bible and see many, many instances. So the trials that we go through, in closing, are teaching us necessary lessons as we stay with God in those trials. Don't jump ship now. Out of God's presence, just stay right there. Like Paul told them, let no man leave this boat. I know God has shown by his angel in the night, right? That not one shall perish. Just stay right there. Stay there with God. Job stay there with God, right? We have seen the end of the law. Now, if things happen that annoy me or annoys you and frustrate you and frustrate me, let us accept them as a challenge from God. They have come for our good because we are a child of God. That it is just the word of the Lord. Stay with it as you learn that. If we learn each lesson well that God teaches us, we will not have to learn them all over again, right? You know? So this then is the master key for having all things to work together for good. What is it? That we react to every trial, react to every temptation, react to every unfavorable circumstances as Christ did. That is the key. See? No matter what it is, even at the cross, Father forgive them. I don't know what they do. He knew what he came to do, to redeem the whole world, right? So the key is this. So let us react to every trial, every temptation, and every unfavorable circumstances as the Lord Jesus did. Then we will go on from victory to victory. And from glory to glory. And when this happens, things will not only work for good for you, but they will even better, they will work best for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. We can go through the scriptures and see. Never fail one time, you know. We just pick three people here, talk about Job, talk about Joseph, talk about, Jacob and all that, you know. So talk about Paul. So let us learn to let God have his way in our life. Let us trust him wholly, whether in trial or whatever is in it. We bring God back. Even David said, he said, I be with him in trouble. He has trouble. I be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him. Psalm 91. And show him my salvation. Lord, we thank you this morning. Truly enough, we believe the word of God. All things work together for good. For them that love God. To them who are called according to your purpose. Help us, Lord, O God, to persevere. There is no temptation common to us, but that is common to man. But to every temptation, God will make a way of escape. That all those conditions around us, unpleasant conditions, unsavory conditions, we all work out together for good. We thank you because you are a loving Father, and you are a loving God. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for your patience as always.